Amen. Mark chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, starting at verse number 17. I know I say this so often, but I do feel like this is very familiar scripture. Amen. And so got a little message I'd like to pull out of this. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but really what Jesus was saying was, I don't want to get too far ahead, but Jesus was telling this young man, he's coming to ask the Lord to be saved. And he said, "Good master," he's already insinuating that a good life and him living a good way, separate from the world, if you will, was a way to get into heaven. And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good, right, but one, that is God." He's already shifting his mind. You know, sometimes it's a mind shift for us. Man. This man thought because he lived a good life, because he kept the commandments from a youth up, that a good, this doing good was going to get into heaven. That's a false way of thinking.
Amen.
Just because you're doing good doesn't necessarily mean you're saved.
You're right.
Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. Once you get saved, you'll live good.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. But living good don't get you saved.
Oh.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Amen. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Amen. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I love this. Woo, hallelujah. I got about five sermons going off in my mind right here. And answered, "Master, all these have I kept." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, and here's a sermon, and I ain't going to get to preach it today, but just because Jesus loves you doesn't mean, amen, that that's enough for you to be saved. Jesus loved this man.
Right.
Woo. Somebody said, "I know God loves me, and I know there's a God." It takes more than God loving you, and it takes more than you knowing there's a God for you to be saved.
Right, right.
There's a million folks out there today that knows there's a God, but they ain't saved.
Come on.
There's 100 million people, ever how many? 7 million people on the face of this earth. Jesus loves every one of them.
Yes.
But that don't mean they're saved.
Woo!
Woo! Oh, yes. Look at this. I never saw that before. Amen. What verse was that? Help me here.
21.
Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, the love of God was coming out of Jesus, and said unto him, hallelujah, "One thing thou lackest." Now, I'm going to get to my message here, but I'm giving you about five before I get to where I need to be. Did you know one thing will keep you from heaven?
You're right.
Yeah.
We live in a society that says you can live and sin a little bit every day and be all right. Jesus said this man had one main problem that was going to keep him from heaven.
You're right.
Come on.
Woo. Contrary to popular opinion, one sin will keep you from the pearly gates.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. "One thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou, amen, hast, and give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." Thank you for standing today for the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. If God would help me, it's going to take me a few minutes to get to it. Amen. Older I get to more sermons, I see in one verse. Amen. But if the Lord would help me, I'm going to preach to us for just a few moments here on the man that had everything but the main thing.
Amen.
The man that had everything but the main thing. Hallelujah. "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He asked the Lord. "What must I do to be sure that when this life is over and it's time to enter into the next life?" Did you know there's a next life?
That's right.
Amen. When it's time to enter into the next life, what can I do to be sure that I'm saved, that I can inherit eternal life? Now Jesus looked deep into the soul of that young man and he saw what the world couldn't see. Praise God. When you looked at this young man, Brother George, I've got three young daughters and I know I probably think a lot different than a lot of people. Amen. And I don't necessarily care if they marry a doctor or a lawyer. Hey, I don't really care if they marry the highest businessman in town. I really care about if they marry a godly man.
That's right.
Woo, amen.
Yes.
Now, all those other things may be added down through the years. I don't know. But the most important thing is to have God in their life. Amen. But this fellow right here, Brother George, just looking at this man from the outside, he'd be the kind of guy you'd want your daughter to marry.
Come on.
He's a young man. He was a rich man. He was a wealthy man. He was a powerful man. He had a powerful place. I don't want to get too deep into this, but it looked like he possibly sat on the Sanhedrin. He was a very popular man. He was a man and a man. Praise God. He's a man you'd want your daughter to settle down and marry. He was a man that you'd want to sit on the deacon board. He was a man that you'd want to run the youth choir and the youth group at your church. This man from the outside looked like a great man.
Yeah.
Oh, bless him.
Woo.
Oh, God.
He didn't commit adultery. He didn't steal. He didn't bear false witness. Amen. Jesus said, these commandments thou must keep from my youth up. He said, Jesus said, you got to keep these commandments. He said, I did this from a little boy till now. I've kept these commandments. Hallelujah. Well, I don't want to split hairs with this rich young guy here. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing he did. He had covetousness in his heart. Amen. There's at least one commandment I can pick out that he messed up on. Amen. He had a desire for this world more than God. Amen. Oh, yes. He had a desire for worldly endeavors more so than he did God. Hallelujah. But Jesus looked at him and he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. Hallelujah. Amen. All men are sinners. Only God is the one that takes us from a sinner and makes us a saint. Hallelujah. Without God, I'd be lost and on my way to hell. Did you know something? I believe that if I die tonight, I believe you can live a life like this. I believe you can live such a life that you know if you die today that you'd be ready to meet God. I believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what separates a sinner from a saint? Nothing but the grace of God. Hallelujah. Woo! This young ruler, brother, had his mind twisted, and he thought, if I live a good life, if I keep the commandments, if I've got money, if I've got materialism, if I've got possessions, then I'm a fit candidate to go to heaven. But thank God he forgot what Ephesians 2 and 8 said. For by grace are you saved through faith. Hallelujah. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This man thought he could get to God on his works. This man thought he could get to God on his own good deeds. But I've got something to tell you, young rich ruler. Amen. It's not your works. It's not your goodness. It's not how good you've been, but it's the grace of God. Amen. That hath appeared unto all men. Oh, God. This man had everything but the main thing.
You're right.
Now, Jesus tells this rich young ruler that he must keep the commandments. We went through that. And he said, Lord, this I did. And right here, Jesus puts his finger. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Right here, Jesus puts his finger, Brother George, on the rotten spot in this young man's heart. He seen he was sold out to the world. He seen this young man was willing to, amen, to sell out his place at church. He was willing to sell out, thank God, everything that he had. He was willing to sell his ties to the God. Amen. Everything that kept him committed to the church and to God and to Christ. He was willing to just let that slide on by just to gain a little bit more power in the world. And Jesus said, rich young ruler, there's one thing you got to do. If you're going to go to heaven, you got to sell everything you got and give it away to the poor, and then you can inherit eternal life. Why did Jesus tell this man that? I don't want to get sidetracked here. Money won't send you to hell. Listen to me. Wealth will not send you to hell. Jesus didn't condemn money. Jesus didn't condemn wealth. He condemned the love of it. And he said, your heart is set on this world. I don't have a place in your heart. The world does. You're trying to gain. You're trying to get more. You're trying to climb that corporate ladder when you should be praying. You should be bringing your children to the house of God. You should be seeking. Down at the church, somebody said, these old young boys coming down to church to find them a girl. Great God, won't you lay off that? That's the best place to find one. Down at the house of God. Hey, come on. I didn't go down to the ball game to find mine. I didn't go down to find me a cheerleader. I went down to the house of God. That's where I found a wife. Amen. This man should have been down at the church house on youth night. This man should have been pushing the church along. He should have been back at his pastor. But instead, he was, how can I make another dollar? How can I lay up more? How can I get richer? How can I climb that corporate ladder? Amen. What thing now, I guess?
Yes, come God.
On, bro.
Woo. Yes, God.
Oh. One thing.
Lord.
I got to preach this here.
Come on.
Amen. What did this young man have?
Come on now.
Woo. Amen. Oh, before I get to what he didn't have, I got to tell you what he had. He had wealth.
Yeah.
Amen. Let me tell you something. If only I had money, somebody said, I'd be happy. Hey, I hate to bust your bubble, but how come Hollywood stars commit suicide by the groves? Amen. Multi-millions of dollars. I hear about it. I'm a reader. I read about it in the headlines. Such and so, multi-millionaire suicide. It was before my day. In some of your day, in a smile, with like it or not, Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. Amen. I got a funny story to tell. My mom had tickets to go see Elvis, her and her sister. They had real close tickets. They was going to see Elvis, and she married my dad in the midst of buying the tickets. And my dad got jealous and said, you ain't going to watch Elvis. Amen. And knocked my mom out of seeing Elvis. But you know, lady, women, I hope no men, but women were getting that a concert, so they pass out. Oh, Elvis sing. Michael Jackson, they pass out. Oh, you know what it is? They got too much ties to the world. They're angered. Jesus said, money ain't gonna make you happy. You know what happened, Elvis? Amen. Got hooked on drugs. And it looks as though possibly suicide. Amen. Too much dope. And it killed him. What about Michael Jackson? I do remember that. One of the richest guys in the world. And you know what happened? He said this. I can't face the pressures of everyday life. I'm a medical guy. I know what when he said, give me my milk every night. They hook him up to anesthesia. Amen. That white propofol that they give you in surgery. That white body. He said, give me my milk. And that doctor would use anesthesia and put him to sleep every night in his own house. You know why? Money don't make you happy. You know why? And fame and fashion, it don't make you happy. I come to tell you, young boys, I come to tell everybody in this house, the only thing that'll make you happy is Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and living for God and loving God and committed to God Christ and committed to His church. That's the only thing that'll make you happy.
Thank you, Lord.
A very wealthy man of his day was asked, hey man, if money makes you happy, he said, no, I only wish it did, for I know many people who are rich, but they are not happy, for wealth does not make one happy. Woo! Now the Bible, amen, didn't condemn money. I've already told you that, but he condemned the love of money. Money can do many wonderful things. I don't want to get into this, but to be honest with you, amen, if God has blessed you with money, it's not for you to hoard up and lay up. I tell you what it is, it's to back the work of God. Woo! If you want to get a reward in heaven, if God has blessed you with money in this life, I tell you what you do, put it in the work of God. Amen. Like that one preacher said, I got to hit this where I go on. One thing you better do is give at least a tenth of it to God. Amen. I taught my girls, if they go mow a $30 yard, they give $3 of it to God. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's right. They give it to God. That's the minimum. It's a tenth of what God blesses you with every week. Amen. God. Little pot here, ain't it? That's all right. Hey, I come to tell you, if you'll tithe and give God a tenth of what He's blessed you with, He said in Malachi, I'd open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing. Come on. Hey, I've lived it. Great God. I guess that's a good 30 years. Amen. I give to God. I give to His work. Amen. I've sown in youth camps. I've sown in camp meetings. And now I'm reaping the benefits. Now my daughter got the Holy Ghost in a youth camp that I sowed in. My kids are getting help. Why? Because I give to God. And I come to tell you, you'll never regret giving to God.
Yes, sir. Oh, you're right.
Do you want me to stay here or move on?
Come on, bro.
Man, I got a lot of ground to cover. Hallelujah. Oh, this man had money. But you know what? Money didn't make him happy. This man had morality. This man was a clean man. And number two, he lived a clean life. Amen. Oh, yeah. It is fine. Hey, God, if you can say that you're a good moral man. Hey, yeah. But oh, I come to tell you, your personal morality can't take you to heaven. Oh, no. If you don't lie, steal, kill, hey, God, that's a good thing. You'll live like that when you get saved, but that will not save you. Oh, no. Amen. Oh, I want you to know that I'm as clean, this man said, as anybody in the county. Oh, yes. I give. Amen. I'm dependable. But you know what? Amen. I'm still unhappy. This man's morals didn't make him happy. This man's morals didn't allow him to lay his head on the bed at night. Oh, no. But you know what? Amen. It takes more than money. It takes more than morals. But you know what else this man had? This man still had his youth.
Come on. Yes, Lord.
Brother Chris, how old are you?
45.
I knew he's a few years older than me. We talk a little bit. When you get older, boy, you get pains, brother. That you didn't used to have.
You're right.
I remember Brother Tommy used to talk about his back hurting, and I thought, boy, my back don't hurt, but guess what? My back certainly hurt. My knee hurts. My knee, sometimes I'll get up, yeah. I'll have to bend down and get something, and I get up, my knee creaks, makes a noise, and I thought, what is that? Glory, glory. You know what? This man still had his youth. Brother Earl, amen. Let me tell somebody in this house, the greatest time you can come to God is in your youth. Hey, let's do a little something here. I know we ain't got a gigantic crowd, but we got a good crowd. Everybody 30 and under, won't you stand in this house? 30 and under. Hey, amen. Look at this. Hey, God. Hey, it's a good looking crowd, ain't it? Hey, I come to tell you, you group right here, something. The greatest thing that you've got going for you is your youth. Give it to God. Give your youth to God. Give your young years to God. Oh, amen. This young man came to the Lord while he was young. The greatest time to come to God is while you're young. Thank you. You can sit if you want. The greatest time to come to God is when you're young.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless you.
Amen. Listen to this. This is statistics I come across. I want to read them to you. Of all the unsaved people in America between 25 and 35, some of you fit that category. We are told that only 1 in 5,000 from 25 to 35, if you're not saved by the time you're 25 years old, listen to this statistic. If you're not a Christian by the time you're 25 years old, from 25 to 35, only 1 out of 5,000 ever come to Christ.
Think of that. Oh, God.
Ooh. Hey, you got it going for you, young people.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Listen to this. Amen. Of the unsaved people between 35 and 45, 1 in 25,000. Boy, the odds are coming down, ain't it?
Sir.
1 in 25,000. Unsaved people in America between 45 and 55 years of age, only 1 in 80,000 will ever come to Christ. The odds are coming way down. Amen. This young guy had it for him. It was on his side that he came to Christ when he was young. Solomon said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen to me while I've got you here preaching to you. If you don't live for God in your young years, you'll get old one day and look back over your life and you'll not get any pleasantry from it, because you'll say, I wasted my years, I wasted my life in the world. Oh God, I'm talking about a man that had everything, but the main thing, he had wealth, he had health, he had youth, but he didn't have Jesus. Pray for me here. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't live for Christ when you're young, you'll have nothing good to look back on in your life. But oh, I look back on my life. Went down memory lane last night. Hallelujah. All the way down that Valentine's banquet I call for love dinner. Amen. We had a good time down there, brother. Hey, Sister Dottie, show me some love pictures of you all. I said, I'm aggravating. 35 years. And old Brother Daniel's still in love. Hey, how many years, Brother Tommy, y'all been married?
44 and a half.
44 and a half. And they're still in love. I know today's society says, hey, amen, the marriage don't make it. Hey, amen. Bust up, split up. But great God, you can still be in love. Hey, I'm feeling good, church. I said you can still be in love in the day society. God blesses marriages. God blesses love. Amen. But you know what? Amen. This man give God his youth.
Yes, yes.
And he had something to look back on. Oh, Brother Johnny Shepherd, when he was preaching there, yep, teaching love talking a little bit last night, and talking about, he said he went to take his wife to ask her to marry him, his girlfriend, to marry him at a fancy restaurant. I love this. And they stand in line, it's a long line, they couldn't get in her. She got impatient, she didn't know he was going to ask her to marry him. And she said, I don't want to stand in this line, I'm ready to go. So if it had been me, I'd have pressed and said, no, let's go stay here. But he said, all right, let's go. So they went and they stopped at a truck stop. And he said, I asked her to marry me in a truck stop. And he said, that old waitress come over there and said, are y'all engaged? Did y'all get engaged? And he said, yeah, we just got engaged. And she said, everybody, they just got engaged. And he said, old farmers and everything come over shaking her head, congratulating them, amen. The young years to look on. The young years to look on. Brother Jason, amen. Well, I feel preaching in this house today. I've been gone a week or two, you can tell it. I said, I feel preaching in this house. Amen. I've never drank a cigarette. I've never drank a beer in my life. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never done those things. And if you have, and God is, I know God can save and bring you. I know all that. But thank God, people look at me and they say, don't you regret not sowing your wild oats? Don't you regret not living it up? No, I look back on my youth and I say, I've had a great youth. Amen. In the house of God, I've been in youth camps, I've been in camp meetings. I don't know how many I've been in the last year. You know why? Because I've had a good youth. I give my life to God. And it's the greatest thing you could ever do.
Yes, it is.
Bless you, boy.
I raised my kids going to youth camps and camp meetings and church. Amen. We don't just hit and miss. We come to church every night. Amen. Amen. Oh, and when we're not here, a lot of times we're, amen, going to church somewhere. Church, church, church. And now my girls are old enough. They love to go to church. As a matter of fact, they're wearing me out. They want to run here, run there, run. Go to this meeting, go to that youth camp, go to this camp meeting. I've already told them, old dad's getting too old for this. I can't work and pastor and keep the roads full time. Amen. But you know what? I love it. Amen. I love it that I raised him up. Come on and go to God's house. I love that. It means the world to me. Amen. This man had his youth, but he wasted his youth when he should have turned to the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Oh, God.
All right. This man had social rank. I got to move through this because I'm out of time. This man had social rank. He was high up the ladder. But social rank, Brother Daniel, didn't make him happy.
That's right.
Woo. Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman, I got books by him. You ever heard of Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman?
Yeah.
He said this. He said, I have had, amen, he preached revival in Europe, and he said a woman said, come in his altar and prayed. She said this, I've had a full and an interesting life. I've entertained the greatest people in America, and I've entertained the royalty of Europe. She said, but I want to tell you that I've had more happiness and peace packed in this last week's revival that I met Christ than in all my years combined.
Yes, yes.
She said, 1 week in an old-fashioned revival service and I've had more fun than I've had all my life combined. Let me tell you something, this world don't know what they're missing. I said, they don't know. The rich young ruler, Brother Tommy, he didn't know what he was missing. He thought he was going to have to scrounge around. Let me tell you something, I believe with all my heart, if he'd have sold his riches, God would have blessed him fourfold later on. God would have poured it back on him. But he would rather cling to the world. Don't cling to the world. Turn loose of the world.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Man, I hope I'm helping somebody.
Oh, God.
Amen. Lord, help us here today, God. Amen. He had good sense. He came to Jesus at the right time. He came when he was young. Billy Sunday said that some men burn the candle of their life out for the devil while they're young, and then they blow the smoke in God's face when they're old. Are you preaching, Brother Jason? Old people can't be saved. No. No, you can be saved as long as there's breath in your lungs. You can be saved.
Yes.
Amen. But a lot of people blow out, they burn that candle in their youth for the devil, and then blow the smoke, Billy Sunday said, in God's face in their old age. This young man had a right spirit.
Come on.
Yes. Yes.
Woo.
Blessing Lord.
Jesus said, except you become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's why you can preach to young people. I was telling Brother Ronan, when I go preach these youth camps or these youth rallies and stuff, I buckle down and preach harder than young people because they'll take it.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. I preach hard, Brother George, in these youth rallies and stuff. I preach hard up there other Friday night. That place was packed with young people. And I preach hard to young people because young people will take it.
Right. Come on.
Woo. It's moms and dads. Amen. That won't shake your hand when you're done preaching.
Amen.
Woo. It's older people that get mad and give you the cold shoulder for 3 months or 6 months when you make them mad. Young people, they might get a little myth to service or two, but they get over it. Amen. But it's them old people. If you preach something they don't like, they'll cold shoulder you. They'll talk about you. They won't shake your hand. Hey, come on. Hey. But this young man had a good spirit.
Come on. Yes,
Lord.
You better have a good spirit too.
Hallelujah.
This young man came seeking the right thing. He came seeking Jesus.
Yes, he did.
He came to the right place. There's no other place to go to other than Jesus himself.
Right.
There's no other place to go.
Thank God.
But thank God. What was he offered? He was offered a Savior. Amen. Jesus did not argue theology with this man. He simply offered him a Savior.
Yes.
He said, come unto me and follow me. Hey, aren't you glad you heard those words one time? Come, come, come unto me. He comes to walk with you. He comes to walk by your side. He comes to comfort you. He came to save this young man. But guess what? This young man rejected the Lord. What happens when you reject Christ? I tell you what happens. The Bible said he walked away sorrowfully.
Yeah.
It's the worst decision of anybody's ever. It's the worst ever decision you could ever make to walk away from Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
He was offered a cross. He said, take up your cross. What was this man's cross? This man's cross was his money.
Mm-hmm.
Take it up. Get rid of it. You don't need it. You don't need that money. I'll bless you if you'll just trust me. Amen. If this guy was intelligent enough to make money at such a young age, if he'd have given up for God, God, it's hard to tell how much God would have prospered him in later years.
He would have.
Come on.
Yes, he would have.
Bless him, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
But you know what? He got to trust it in me. Me, me. I can do it. Me, me, me. That's the wrong attitude.
Come on.
That's the wrong spirit when you think you can do it.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on now.
He was offered a home in heaven. Jesus said, oh, amen, I'll save you. Jesus told him he would follow, amen, that he would follow him. He would have treasure in heaven. But he rejected the Son of God.
That's right.
I preached to you the burden of my heart today. He walked away sorrowfully. No wonder he had made the most awful decision of his life.
Yes, he did.
He was on his way to hell.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I know it ain't popular preaching, but you know what? When you reject Christ, there's only one other place to go to.
Right.
That's a place called hell. Somebody help me out there on this piano today. Let the Lord help me. I'd like to give us an altar call here. The man that had everything but the main thing. Make Jesus Christ the main thing in your life.
Come on.
That's why he says over in Matthew, 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yeah, that's it.
Amen. And all these other things to be added to. But you know what? This young ruler did the opposite. He sought everything else, and then he tried to add Jesus to the mix. You can't add Jesus to your life.
Right. Come on.
You've got to make Jesus number one in your life, and then Jesus adds everything else.
Right.
Amen. Stand with me in this house. I'm done.
Lord,
you see the burden of my heart, God. We got some time here for folks to gather around and pray before we enter into Sunday school class here. I feel like I preached at least one. I feel like I preached possibly more. I need to hear this today. Oh, God. Would you let it sink into a heart? God, would you let it sink into somebody's mind? Help them to twist their way of thinking. To understand, Lord, that they can't be good enough. They can't make enough money. You can't be you enough to replace Jesus in your life. You can't do it. You got to trust him. Is there anybody in this house that would like to get up here to his altar and say, Lord, I'm going to cut everything else out, get rid of it, and I want to make you number one in my life. Come on. Let's gather in here today. Jesus, I want to make you the main thing. This man had everything but the main thing. I tell you what you need. You need to make Jesus the main thing. You need to make him the main thing of your life. God, help me, Lord, to put you number one in my life. Number one, God, number one. I've got to make you number one. Everything else will follow. If I seek you first, then I can find a companion. If I seek you first, then I can find the right job. If I seek you first, then you might make me wealthy one day. Lord, if I seek you first, put you number one in my life.
Chasing.